You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is about the performing arts in our area. I'm Lisa Berry, and joining us for this segment is local journalist and blogger Jen McKee. Hello, Jen.
Hi.
You brought two special guests with you this week.
I did. I have here in the studio Guy Sandville, artistic director of the Purple Rose Theater in Chelsea, and playwright Brian Letcher, who has a brand new play that is opening at the Purple Rose very soon. Well, tell us about Smart Love, what the basic premise is, and what kind of made you write about this topic.
I was up late one night, unable to sleep, and doing what we all do when that happens, which is put on Netflix. And scrolling through Netflix, I found a bunch of stuff on AI, artificial intelligence. Started watching it, became really fascinated in the topic, began reading more, and was completely infatuated with it and wanted to write something about it. So I wrote a play about 3 years ago, did a reading out in Los Angeles of that play, and then threw the binder in the trash at the end of the reading because I didn't think I had a play. I knew I didn't have a play. I had a bunch of ideas and the beginnings of a play. So I began to think about it again, was out in Chelsea seeing something like Purple Rose, kind of ran it by Guy. And of course he said, you know, write it and I'll read it. Which for a writer is, you know, a pathway to heaven. If you have someone who says they will actually read what you're going to write, then that's all the inspiration that I needed to get going. And sent him something a couple months later, and then we workshopped it, as the Purple Rose does so well. Really, that second version of the play was about bringing the technology to a human story, or bringing a human story to the technology, and how artificial intelligence can be used, but also how that might change our relationships, friendships, marriage, love. You know, it's a family in Hamtramck, a mother, a father, and a son that are dealing with a loss, are trying to find a way to fill that void. There's a lot of humor, although that description doesn't sound like it. there's a lot of humor in the play, but definitely we try to get, you know, open up the heart with laughter and then stick the needle in.
Well, and I should mention that you have ties here locally. You played football on Michigan's team, and you were an assistant coach here at WEMU on their football team. Is that correct?
I was.
Yeah, and the first play you did with the Rose was about your coaching experience.
Yeah, it was called When the Lights Come On that we did in 2007. It was an embellished version of my coaching experience for sure, but was a little bit of a, you know, was cathartic. So they did a terrific job with a very average play, I think.
You must be working on the Jim Harbaugh story for your next one. That would make a great play, don't you think?
Well, it's so funny you bring that up, because for about a year and a half, I've been writing a screenplay called Those Who Stay, which is about the 1969 season, Bo Schembechler's first year coming to Ann Arbor in the middle of the, you know, civil rights movement and Vietnam War. This general walks in and is going to whip this team into shape and everything that happened there. So as a mirror to what, you know, what Harbaugh is about. So, yeah. That movie hopefully will be coming to a theater soon.
Getting back to Smart Love, Guy, what was your impressions as you were working on the script, and what interested you about it?
I'm a techno peasant. My phone is, you know, 40 years old, and I sort of avoid. I'm intimidated by technology. But once I read the play, you know, it was a man, a woman, and a problem. He uses humor really well as a window into the human heart, and I just thought it was something that I hadn't seen before. I thought it had great potential. So, and I like working with Brian. He's like all really good playwrights. He's interested in what his work inspires in other people. And the workshop was just fantastic. As he said, it was unusual because we got a grant and we had designers, lighting designer, and we had, you know, we had so many talented and creative people in the room, mm-hmm. that were turned on by this idea. And we just came out of that with a script that we could commit to. You know, we do a lot of new plays, and each one of those is kind of a glorious adventure into the unknown. And when there's a little bit of jumping off the cliff and building your wings on the way down. We got into the process, and everybody got so enthused. And I guess what really attracted me to it was, you know, Brian and working with him, and the fact that so many talented and creative minds got excited about this. Mm-hmm. Because it is something, you know, it's that you're going to see more and more of it. Once I started down that rabbit hole of AI, artificial intelligence, it's everywhere now in the corporate media matrix. Ann Arbor is a hub for artificial intelligence development and production. Somebody asked the car guy, how soon do you see this happening? And he said, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and she will never have to touch a steering wheel unless she wants to. That blew my mind. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, all this technology is evolving so fast and changing, literally rewiring our brains and changing the way that human beings are evolved. And, you know, the play touches on the idea of many philosophical things, but just because we can do a thing, should we?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, if you could have everything you want exactly when you want it, the way that you want it, is that necessarily a good thing for human growth? If you could live forever, what's that like? Imagine walking in and seeing somebody that you thought was lost forever standing right in front of you. It's mind-blowing. And these things, you know, we're approaching what scientists call the moment of singularity, when this technology becomes vastly superior and reproduces, it can do just fine without any human involvement, and it grows at a rate that human beings are incapable of understanding or keeping up with.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there to think about, but he's boiled it down to a family and in Hamtramck, and I think we've had scientists in there, we've had people who, you know, build Chryslers, and they're all very moved and have a good time with the story. There's something there for everybody.
And the name of the play is Smart Love, and we can see it at the Purple Rose Theater when?
Well, we have two more previews this week, and then we open on Friday the 27th, and it runs through March 4th.
We'll put all the links on our website, WEMU.org. Brian Letcher, playwright, and Guy Sanville from the Purple Rose Theater, artistic director. Thanks for joining us. Jen, we only have a brief time left. What else is going on around town?
Well, really quickly, each year the Michigan Theater brings a film directly from the Sundance Film Festival, as the film festival is basically happening. And this year, it's on February 3rd at 8 p.m. We don't know yet, I didn't know as of now, what movie they're bringing, but it's always an exciting thing because they bring a producer or somebody to talk about the film and answer questions afterward. Here on EMU's campus, there's a production of Raisin in the Sun, an American classic, that's coming up and will be running February 8th through 12th. And there's some great stuff at the ARC.
I know, I have two words to say to you. I have to say these words.
Okay.
Pokey Lafarge.
I know. It's fun to say, but he's also just this wonderful, marvelous musician. And I really have become hooked to his music. And he's playing at the ARC on February 10th. And Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who a lot of people know from Paul Simon's
sure.
Graceland album, they're coming back to the ARC on February 19th.
Jen McKee, thanks so much for joining us on this week's segment of Art and Soul here on 89.1 WEMU.